Hello, dear friends of Fine Entertainment. Welcome back to Pottermos, your podcast of pop culture and current affairs, loosely inspired by the prophet Amos, with Andy.
And Mitch, that's me.
Today's episode is a bit of a special one, not something we'd normally do, actually. Our regular listeners might be wondering why their favorite German podcast sounds subtly very English.
And that's not the only difference. Today there are no follow-ups, no small talk, no rambling about who's drinking which beer.
Some obscure German craft beer properly. Anyway.
From Munich probably.
Anyway, this is new territory for us, an entire episode in English. But why? Tell me why.
Glad you asked. It actually makes perfect sense this time, because today's topic is something a lot of international fans are obsessing over right now.
Exactly. Episode 68.
Obscurely.
Yeah, that's the name of this episode. You know, it's in the title. You're here because it's obscurely.
Take a look.
Inspired by the upcoming Obscure Pet Shop Boys show. And our regular listeners will know every now and then we do like to sneak in a bit of PSB-related content.
Having been massive fans for, what, nearly four decades now? Mm-hmm. But seriously, what's all the fuss about these obscure shows?
Alright, so, five nights in April 2026 at the Electric Ballroom in London. And here's the twist. No hits, no singles, just album tracks and B-sides performed live.
Yeah, which is basically the exact opposite of the Dream World The Greatest Hits Live tour, which we are going to see. By the way, in July, in the beautiful town of, and I'm really looking forward to Neil Tennant saying hi to the people of the city of Mönchengladbach, and it probably will sound something like, oh, good evening, good evening, Mönchengladbach,
and we'll say cheer and say yeah.
Will be his 27th birthday. No, that, yeah, no, he'd be happy about that. No, it's already his 72nd birthday. Yeah, actually, that's the date of his birthday. And I'm wondering if the court has got something of a surprise in store for him, like singing happy birthday or something, or throwing birthday cakes onto the stage.
So back to the songs. And apparently, a lot of these songs have never been played live. Ever.
Yeah, that's right. They announced something like, correct me if I'm wrong, most of the songs, not only a lot of these songs, but most of the songs have never been played live before. So that, that's good. Influenced our set list, which are our set lists we will disclose a little later on. Yeah, heavily.
So, but there's one special show of this five on the 8th of April, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a something worth mentioning. That's the benefit show for War Child. They have done something for War Child a few years ago already. I think it was in one-off concert that was set up by the band Keen. And yeah, only performed two songs that evening with a band, supported by a band, at least I think two guitarists, Integral and Being Boring, if I'm correct. Mm-hmm. But we'll come back to that later.
So let's come to the next chapter of this podcast, the setup. What counts as obscure?
Yeah, that's right.
So we get into our set lists. We should probably define what we even mean by obscure.
Right. Because with Pet Shop Boys, that's not as obvious as it sounds.
They played roughly 190 different songs live over the years.
Yes, and here's the kicker. The 26 most played songs are basically all singles.
Which is not surprising. Actually, especially with Dreamworld, the show we are visiting in the summer, they're dominating the last years.
Yeah, and this is only about singles, of course. But there's one weird exception, though, in that list of 26 most played songs, which we get from the website setlist.fm, by the way. Yeah, mm-hmm. They've got all the statistics there. It's interesting to take a look at that. So let's talk about Integral. So that's something special.
Yeah, kind of a technicality. That remix version made available as a download-only single promoting Disco 4.
And performed live exactly once at the mentioned War Child show. A version that even has a different song and chord structure. The chorus only comes in very late in the song. You know, if you've done nothing wrong, you've got nothing to fear, and so on. And an altered verse melody, probably done digitally using a software such as Melodyne, you know. Okay, we're getting into the details now. Which lets you treat recorded audio events as if they were MIDI notes that can easily be transposed. Yeah, so that's why this version sounds so totally different from the album version. That's the single version.
Okay, only the album version, though, has been performed several times during the Fundamental and Electric shows. That version is only the album track.
So this track is both a single and an album track. we don't know if we may include this in the obscure set list, because is it only allowed to include the album version but not the single version, because that has been a single and the album version is still but is the album version still an album version, or is it then because it has been released as a single in a remix version? We don't know. Neither of our set lists, we can already say that. Give that away.
So,
right
to the next chapter, we'll talk about the tours.
Yeah, okay, the early tours deep dive, as we call this chapter. So the first tour, at the very beginning, like 40 years ago, Pet Shop Boys were not that keen on going on tour live. They waited a little, even though I think they have already wanted to set up a show, a theatrical show, but that was not possible the way they wanted it at that time.
Something like that,
yeah. So the first proper tour was in 1989, and that is already fascinating.
Yeah, it is, because by then they had Please, Actually, Introspective, and of course Disco.
Yeah, and the set list is basically a singles run from West End Girls to It's All Right.
Except randomly, Suburbia is missing.
Which... I can imagine might have upset a lot of fans back then, who have been expecting them to, of course, play Suburbia, one of their most successful singles by then, or the most successful singles, or one of the most successful singles of their early Imperial phase years. But okay, for no reason, or it's not further explained why they didn't include that. Probably they had so many other songs to play. No, Suburbia. Even though they had a saxophone player on stage, and the single version of Suburbia has a saxophone solo. That doesn't make sense. But instead, what did they do? They did Nothing Has Been Proved, the Dusty Springfield single, in an acoustic version. Right? Why not?
Album-wise, actually dominates completely.
Yeah, the set list of this... this tour that had the title was only letters, that's the word I was looking for, mm-hmm. in 1989 in Latin letters. So
MCM at the end, yeah. MX, something.
Yeah,
like
that's
that.
Right. Yeah, the date, the film, or the year the films have, or the movies were released. Mm-hmm. Yeah. MCMLXXXIX, maybe something like that, to keep it complicated.
They are crazy, crazy the Romans, like Obelix would say.
Yeah, that's right. Ils sont fous. Or in German, die spinnen die Römer. Mm-hmm. Right. So, Actually dominates completely. Mm-hmm. The singles, from Actually, all the singles, plus One More Chance, Shopping, and King's Cross.
From Please, only Later Tonight.
Yeah, not much. Not much Please stuff. And then, yeah, that's another. The next one is also like an exception similar to the above-mentioned integral. Paninaro in that extended disco style version. Back then, yeah, only a single B-side album track if we count the disco remix album as a proper album. But, oh, these were different kinds of album tracks that were included on disco.
Oh,
Paninaro.
Also, an instrumental of what later becomes Occupy Your Mind.
Mm-hmm, and that's right.
This must be the place we waited years to leave as an interlude.
Yeah, Occupy Your Mind, I think it's a lesser known track. It's the closing track from the B-side of the Results album they produced for. Oh, no, they only produced the B-side. Yeah, so the A-side has nothing to do with Pet Shop Boys. Even though it has some good singles on it, Results, the title track, and also this ballad, Arrested by You. Yeah, right. I really liked the song back then. So, but yeah, Occupy Your Mind as an early instrumental version. Huh? Ah, the sound of the atom splitting.
Oh,
yeah.
I know.
Yeah. So this is a song that some people think it was the intro because it was that they released this VHS cassette.
Ah, yeah. Yes. Yes.
Called Highlights, because they didn't get permission. I think it was because of the royalties of the saxophone player. I don't know. I can't remember all the details. But I think it had something to do with that. Or they didn't. They weren't satisfied with all the tape that was recorded. I don't know. At least. They released some of it on videotape, on VHS, called Highlights. And that starts with the sound of the atom splitting. But in the actual concert, you can look it up on YouTube. I think there are some people have uploaded the full concert there. And as you will experience there, it's some kind of an interlude to get... the costume change for the for It's a Sin done, which features a lot of a lot of different costumes, all of the deadly sins portrayed on stage by the singers and the dancers here, right? Sinners as well, probably. So that was a non-album track, the sound of the atom splitting. Well, I can imagine that it hasn't been played live, or it wasn't played live, but only from tape, an instrumental version.
So. Let's get to the next chapter, Random Deep Cuts Across Tours. So, fast forward a bit. And you get their very random deep cuts popping up.
Yeah, 2 divided by 0 and Why Don't We Live Together, 2 Please songs that they didn't do on the MCM and so on tour, but only on the Pandemonium tour. That was in 2009, I think. Yeah, so some years later on, in kind of Pet Shop Boys versus New York medley, you know, the one where they had dancers dressed up as skyscrapers on stage. I didn't get to see that show back then, but it looks funny on DVD. Why Don't We Live Together and 2 divided by 0, and one remaining Please song that they also performed, but only once. That's Violence, as at the one-off Hacienda show, and that got a remix treatment that later saw the light of day as a bonus track on the
I Wouldn't Normally Do That Kind of Thing single.
And then there is one more song from Please Left, that's Tonight Is Forever.
Yeah, lovely that track. One has a whole story. Snippet as a disco very intro, that was a tour, wasn't it? And then full version at Barfly London 2004, which has no recordings at all. And then twice with orchestra.
BBC Philharmonic 2012 and the Teenage Cancer Trust concert at the Royal Albert Hall in 2017. At least one of them can be found because it was broadcast on radio, BBC, right, on YouTube, some kind. So put it up there and you can listen to the orchestral, or not, the album version plus orchestra edit of Tonight is Forever.
Same concerts where they finally did It Couldn't Happen Here with a real orchestra.
Yes, one more of the missing, actually songs that haven't been played up to that point in time. Yeah, probably because this song demanded an orchestra. And as we all know, the original album version, that sounds a lot like an album, like an orchestra, but it actually is no orchestra. It's just Blue Weaver, the Fairlight maestro, having programmed all the orchestra sounds, but cost them a fortune back then. I think he spent 3 days at least doing that to make it sound like a real orchestra. And I think he did a great job. I mistook that for a real orchestra, or I have mistaken it for a real orchestra for a long time. Good. So now there's another chapter right now. We're moving forward. Albums that barely made it live. Mm-hmm. It's still the defining of the what's actually obscure, or what makes an obscure track. So now let's talk about albums that barely made it live. So some albums really got the short end of the stick live.
Bilingual, for example. No proper tour.
That's right. Instead, there was this Savoy Theater residency that is also recorded on a DVD. I think I still have the VHS tape version, mm-hmm. but the same, it's the same as the later released DVD called Somewhere, where they also promoted with Somewhere, the song from the musical West Side Story, something that starts with West. The musical West End Girls, not the musical West Side Story by Leonard Bernstein, their cover of Somewhere.
Oh, yes, I remember. Yeah. So from bilingual, there are only three of the four singles, plus Discoteca and Two Step Aside,
were performed on that occasion. Mm-hmm. Interestingly, on the Dreamworld tour, yeah, the fourth of the singles, single bilingual, made it on the Dreamworld set list, even though it was not that huge hit. I don't think that it had been played on the radio very often. But it's a nice song, anyway. But then, randomly, I think that was a kind of resident, and they played The Truck Driver and His Mate.
No, yeah. I like that one.
Mm-hmm. It's a really great one, with sing-along parts and acoustic guitar played by Neil. The Truck Driver and His Mate. It's a B-side at last. One more B-side to be played live. Some Speculation, also a B-side. Was on the bundle, lots of CDs released for Yesterday When I Was Mad. It was on one of them. Some Speculation, a rather long song with Neil singing his falsetto voice. And The Man Who Has Everything from Relentless, very obscure. We're getting more obscure gradually. And Friendly Fire, a song that has not been released or had not been released by then, something they planned for the musical, Friendly Fire. I think it's a song, it's about David Bowie, actually, I read somewhere. Mm-hmm. David Bowie and the world of pop and rock. Yeah
and then there was Survivors, only once, with orchestra and choir.
Yeah, okay, so that's the last of the bilingual songs to be played live, but that also took some more years to go by. Also played on one of these or two of these above mentioned shows with the orchestra and BBC recording. It's a great live version because they changed the beat. The thinking of the original version, the album version, the drum track, it's very similar to the Being Boring drum track, so this breakbeat, boom boom chuk, boom chuk, boom chuk, something like that, yeah, which was very popular in the 90s, sampling from all those hip hop records. But they exchanged it with a steady 4-to-the-floor beat, only 1, 2, 3, 4 bass drum. I think this really suits the song very, very well. They should have done this in the first place, and they might have released it as a single instead of single bilingual. Only my wild guess. So then later, let's move on a little bit. Ah, yeah, okay, we've got the Electric Tour, which is also special because they didn't tour one album, but two albums, Electric and Elysium, which were released quite, I don't think, in only 2 years' time,
separating each other. No?
Yeah, maybe even less. Yeah. And so they only toured when Electric was out. I think they already started the tour when Electric was not had not been released. So the audience didn't know all the new tracks from Electric during the first concerts. Then Hotspot, yeah, it was ignored. Why? Because they started the Dream World tour, or they wanted to start a Dream World tour, but unfortunately, can you remember what happened in 2020?
There was something. The golden ages of the 20s. Oh no, it was Corona pandemics.
Yeah, the pandemic hit the road instead. So yeah. I had a ticket for the Dream World tour for May 2020 in Oberhausen.
Oberhausen.
So it was 2023 when I actually got to see that concert there. Postponed a little. 3 years later. And I really had got a bad seat. And so I'm really looking forward to Mönchengladbach, where we have better seats and we paid a fortune to come very close to the stage.
So, which means this obscure run is perfect to finally play non-singles from Hotspot and Nonetheless.
Thank you for clarifying this.
That's the script. We have to go to through the script.
What do you mean by script? Do you think is it scripted? Have we got a script for this?
No, this is not scripted.
No. People would notice that. So, what's the next chapter on the script or imaginary script? Songs never played live. Though these are the most obscure tracks because they have never been played live. And this is where it really gets wild.
From the Classics album, please, Only I Want a Lover, never played live. Actually, Hit Music und I Want to Wake Up und Introspective, I Want the Dog. It has to be a Chihuahua.
Yeah, but why, actually? Why does it have to be a Chihuahua?
I forgot.
Well, because you've only got a small flat.
Oh, it's only a small flat in London, of course, in the 80s. So, next chapter.
B-sides, live, the rare list. We already mentioned two or three.
Even more extreme.
Mm-hmm. Only a handful of B-sides ever made it onto their set lists. Apart from those that we've already mentioned. Mm-hmm. Oh, I've got a list here, so we can take turns reading that out, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, apart from the ones that we've already mentioned above, isn't it funny that I keep saying above as if as if we were reading all the script? Mentioned earlier. So, that's of course on the performance tour. We All Feel Better in the Dark. Do you remember Chris Lowe taking off his
clothes?
Trousers?
Yeah, it was great. It was the first Pet Shop Boys show we ever seen. 1991 Behavior Tour, a performance tour, of course, to the Behavior album. And we were little boys having our first concerts a few months earlier. They were Depeche Mode.
And yeah, okay, to our new listeners, there's rarely a podcast where we don't mention Depeche Mode.
To mention Depeche Mode, sorry. Yeah,
we got to squeeze it in sometimes.
Just did it. And yeah, and we've seen this show in Dortmund, Westfalen, Halle.
Yeah, Dortmund is a little easier to pronounce than Mönchengladbach. And I think they have visited Dortmund more often.
They did.
Yeah, we often better in the dark. B-side to Being Boring, of course, which obscurely enough has not been performed at that concert.
Yeah.
Yeah. To spite all the fans who didn't buy that album to make it a hit.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I read that somewhere that occasionally they actually play that, but only on very, very few occasions. And Also included on the set list of that concert was
Your Funny Uncle.
Yeah, I love that song.
Mm-hmm. Nice song.
Nice song, but also a very sad song, yeah, because it's about song. The when passing away of. Yeah. I've seen one of the three songs that are about AIDS and the passing away of his good friend. Apart from being boring, of course. It couldn't happen here. Mm-hmm. Right. No, what couldn't happen here was the AIDS pandemic.
They nobody talked
at the beginning
about it.
Of the 80s. Yeah. Yeah, but it did. Euroboy is the next one. Yeah. Very, very, very obscure.
It is.
A very obscure track in itself, and very obscure to read that it has been played once live. I have never heard about that before, but thanks to Geo Wayne, one of my favorite Pet Shop Boys related websites, geowayne.com, by Wayne Studer, highly appreciated. There's a set list section, and it says that on some of the Latin American shows in 1994, the Discovery concerts, DVD or VHS tape back then in the 90s, mm-hmm. released. DVD was only released a few years ago, luckily. At last, it says that that set list included Euroboy occasionally, but there's no recording on YouTube. Nobody, no sources that tell something about if this only was like a tape recording, interlude song, or actually played live. Strange song to play live because there are hardly any song structures. I want a lover, I want a new lover, I want a Euro lover, or something like that. What's next?
Next B-side played live was The Truck Driver and His Mate, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. mentioned above.
Earlier.
Already, yeah, it's some speculation. I've already mentioned that. And no, not another one, a new one.
Oh, that's one of my favorites. It's Shameless. Mm. It's on the B-side, on the single CD from Go West. I brought and played it in repeat the whole afternoon while playing with my mate on the computer Civilization or NHL.
Yeah, it must have been the 90s.
It was the 90s, yeah. I had my first PC after the C64, yeah.
Yeah, the happy teenage years.
Yeah,
listening to Pet Shop Boys and playing PC games all day long. But those gay days have gone now.
And drinking amaretto with apple juice.
Okay, let's cut that.
Let's go on.
Coke, of course. Mm-hmm. No. Shamelessly drinking. the next one. We've got to add where it was played live.
Where was it?
What again? We encountered that on the Nightlife tour in Dortmund, actually.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
That's where they played Shameless for the first and only time when they performed the Nightlife album live.
I see.
Or they toured the Nightlife album. Then. You know, this list is chronological.
Mm-hmm.
We're moving on to the release tour.
Mm-hmm.
The only one that saw them performing with a full band, or almost a full band live, which comes closest to a full band. That Sexy Northerner. I think we saw that in Cologne, didn't we?
In Cologne, where we have seen songs like Hope and Dry.
Yes. That's where they performed these songs before the album was already actually released.
Yeah,
it was not yet the full tour, but only some one-off concerts where they tried out some new songs in a very intimate
place. Live musical.
Well,
we've seen White Lies lately.
White Lies recently.
Mm-hmm.
Where we wanted to see Peter Hook and the light, but then he's got some issues with his shoulder.
Last year.
Sparks, the mighty Sparks.
Yeah. Great hot show.
Yeah.
It was really hot. Summer hot.
Yeah. When we saw the Sparks. I can't remember what the weather was like when we actually saw Pet Shop Boys perform there.
Oh, it was okay.
Must have been the early 2000s.
Yeah. I remember the beer garden.
I can't remember the beer garden, probably because of the beer garden.
Ah, I see.
No, I don't know. No, you didn't get drunk.
Yeah. 20 or more years ago. What do we
know? Yeah, that's right. And it was a time of the illegal download services.
MP3 and torrent services and eDonkey and Napster.
Yeah.
All of this stuff. And
that's why Neil Tennant actually wondered why all the audience could all sing along to the new songs already, which hadn't been released by then, and heavily downloaded illegally. But of course, we as devoted fans bought the album several times. I think the CD release of was released in different formats, at least different O cards. I think these cardboard cards that you can like an envelope for your CDs. Mm-hmm. They had these flower pictures on top of them, and I've got the white vinyl version as well. So I've got a clean conscience.
Nice.
Do I have to?
Dancing?
Have a clean conscience? Moving
Do
on.
I Do I have to? That's our next song.
Hmm?
It's older, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. That was the B-side to Always On My Mind.
Ah, I see.
The single between Actually and Introspective. Uh-huh. So it was not on. Taking calls to Newcastle now, because everybody knows that Always On My Mind was not included on the actual album, but then they performed it live for a tribute, Elvis Presley tribute show on TV, and people loved it that much that they put it out as a single, and that made the Christmas number one in 1987. Mm-hmm. Not the Pokes, but the Pet Shop Boys. And then they released Heart as a next single, which was a single from, actually, again, before they released the first song, a first single from Introspective, Domino Dancing. Mm. And Introspective was the album to include a remix version, a very long one of Always On My Mind. But now, let's go back to the obscure songs. Do I Have To was played live on the Pandemonium Tour, touring the Yes album.
I see.
And that segued into King's Cross live, because it has a very very similar tempo and very similar beat. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was the second show they played King's Cross.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the next song on that list?
I'm not sure. No, I don't know, My Girl.
Yeah, it's not a Pet Shop Boys song, it's a cover. That's right. Yeah, yeah, you know the lyrics. Oh my god.
Do we?
But pardon?
Do we talk about covers here?
It's not only a cover. Okay, we've got to separate between different formats of cover songs. Yep. They have if you look at the setlist FM side, there are so many songs they have only ever performed live once.
Yeah.
And these are songs that have never been recorded. Very obscure, odd cover versions. They only played for whatever occasion. Mm-hmm. But My Girl became a recording for the EP It Doesn't Often Snow at Christmas / All Over the World.
I see.
So that's where they put the My Girl Madness cover version on.
Sorry, this is not only mad, it's obscure.
That's very, very madly obscure. Obscurely mad. Yeah. Well, this is a nice cover version, and it's a nice song too.
I'm not sure if our audience is still with us.
No, they're all Pet Shop Boys fanatics, so they're still with us, and they're cherishing what we're talking about.
They're more fanatic than me, but I'm also fanatic.
Aren't we both fanatics? Haven't we both been fanatics for the last 40 years?
Yep.
So the next one is Fugitive. Also very, very, very obscure one. But a fan favorite. It's a really great track. Yeah. And it has only seen the light of day as a bonus track on the special edition of the Fundamental album, Fugitive. Isn't it about a suicide bomber? No, that makes it very obscure. Yeah. They played it on the Electric Elysium tour, which I saw in Dortmund.
Oh.
Again.
Okay. Yeah.
That it was must be one of my favorite Pet Shop Boys concerts. I guess it was so great performance, so great laser lights and set list. So I got really excited.
Excited too.
I got excited because they played
Introspective, isn't it?
B-side from Heart.
Yeah,
or B-side to Heart.
I see.
But it was one of the songs that they have. Oh, here, now I think this is the moment where we have to say hi and give a big shout out to the one and only Pet Shop Boys podcast, In Depth.
In Depth, yeah.
Yeah. Hosted by Chris and Graham, and they do that very, very well. they even speak English a little better than we do, because it might have something to do with the fact that they are being natives. Mm-hmm. And the research that they have done all over the years, they have all the sources ready and they know everything about that. And they, the latest issues or the latest episodes they released are about Please. Yeah, they devoted two episodes to the album Please and the origins of that. And the demos that Pet Shop Boys recorded in the very, very first days when they started working together back in 1981 to 1983 or so, even before they got to release Please. And I Get Excited was one of the songs that they have recorded first, during the first sessions of recording demos. With Bobby Orlando. And why am I saying that? Because I know that much and I have to have to talk about it. No, because the version that they played was not the version that they recorded for the single B-side, but it was very close to the first demo version that you can listen to somewhere on the internet.
Oh.
It's got some kind of organ riff, which is not featured on the actual single B-side version. So they played the I Get Excited early demo version on that tour. Full stop.
Okay, on Setlist FM they tell us this song was played 93 times live, and last time in 2015.
I Get Excited in 2015. Yeah, that makes sense. That was the time of the Electric tour, and probably there were 93 dates.
Yeah, could be.
And then, at last, we went to Pet Shop Boys together again.
Mm-hmm. In the night. After like
20 years or so.
Yeah.
And they... that was which album? Super.
Super, yeah. That was Palladium, wasn't it, in Cologne?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In Cologne, mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was really tight, very crowded,
mm-hmm.
that night, and very hot in that night, to the pleasure of a lot of people who attended the show. They played the very, very old song, the B-side to Opportunities, the very first release of Opportunities, I have to add, because they released it twice, but okay, listen to In Depth for more. For more information on that. So the first single release had In the Night as a B-side, and it was later released on Disco as a 12-inch mix.
And even those, often just once or under very specific circumstances.
Yeah, so we already talked about the very specific circumstances that these single B-sides have been played live. Not very many B-sides that have been played live. So mm-hmm. probably that might be a reason for more B-sides or some of these B-sides played again during the Obscure concerts.
And you know, Pet Shop Boys love their B-sides because they also make B-side compilations. So let's get us into our next chapter.
Three Obscure Eras. Eras that reminds us of Taylor Swift, yeah, talking about eras. But no, that's something
we have three eras. Tell us.
You can almost split the obscurities into three phases.
Oh yeah, I know. Mm. This is started with alternative, then format, and maybe a third B-side collection coming?
And Obscure would actually be a pretty good title for that third B-side collection. What? To be released in the future. Let's wait and see.
Let's see.
So now we have taken our time to combine our set lists. Or not to combine our set lists, but to make up our set lists, our own set lists. What will they probably play live? This is the question that all of you have been asking yourselves recently. And some of you are probably very lucky to have gotten the fingers on the tickets for the for some of the Obscure concerts. But okay, we're staying in Germany. We haven't even tried. We didn't even try. No. So we are looking forward to learning about the actual set list. But now let's dream a little. Our set list. So what are the rules for our set lists? We're assuming they're playing 25-ish songs total.
Yeah, that's what's on the Pet Shop Boys website.
25 Is it actually?
Songs. Actually, yeah. Well, last week, as we planned this show, in our script, there were 20 songs. And I read the Pet Shop Boys website and said, oh, 25 songs. So it is, 25 songs.
Okay, they have already announced to play 25 songs. That's really a treat.
It did, yeah.
Yeah. Remember the Obscure the Obscure performance concert? I think, probably because of the huge production and all the money they on all the dancers and costume changes and props they used. Only 16 songs back then. Was so short that's why they added a break in the middle, so it doesn't seem that short.
Sort of get back to our rules.
Yeah.
Rule number one: at least
no rules.
Nobody talks about our rules. Nobody talks about the Pet Shop Boys Club. So no. Rule one was at least 13 songs never played live before.
Yeah, why 13? Explain the mathematics behind that.
Yeah, more than the half of it. So we have 25 and the half would be 12 and a half. So we can't play half song. So let's play 13 play songs never played before.
Maybe they play 50 half songs. So, oh, we reached the middle of the song. Let's stop.
That looks good.
Yeah, that would be even more obscure. Oh, obscura. What is it grammatically? Obscure has got two syllables, so it's more obscure.
You're the English teacher, aren't you?
Ah, don't say that. I've been revealed. No.
Okay.
It's okay. The rest of... Oh, so the next rules, 12 songs. Either only played on like one or two tours... Everything else would be boring. Or not played since or at last 2016. So, yeah,
it's
luckily...
About 10 years ago, you see.
They've been touring Dreamworld for about 5 years now.
Not counting... the pandemic.
Yeah, not counting the start of the pandemic when they have already wanted to start this. Yeah. That would have been 3 more years. Yeah. to 5 years now. Saw them in 2003. Yeah, that's right. Okay, so I have not played anything but singles since then. What are we excluding?
No cover versions.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so there are no songs like Losing My Mind.
Nope.
So, okay, some cover versions are cover versions and B-sides. Singles at the same time. And we've ruled out singles anyway. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, Losing My Mind, single cover version. It's a cover version. So complicated. The song is not written by Pet Shop Boys. It's a cover version by Stephen Sondheim. It's from a musical. They recorded it with Liza Minnelli, but then released their own demo version as a single B-side for Jealousy a little later on. And then they performed Losing My Mind on the performance tour. Okay, that's all about Losing My Mind. No Losing My Mind. And it was included in the first run of DreamWorld shows. They played it on the DreamWorld tour. Yeah.
So
no Losing My Mind.
No Girls and Boys from Blur. No, this wonderful remix. Nope.
Not right here. Even though that was a kind of a B-side, it was on the In the Night, not In the Night, Paninaro 95 singles, which turned Paninaro from a B-side into a single, strangely enough. We are the Pet Shop Boys. No, not we. We are not the Pet Shop Boys. We are we're the Pottermore Boys.
Yeah.
No, not to confuse by the Pet Shop Boys. This is a strange one because this band called My Robot Friend, who recorded a song or actually wrote a song called My Pet Shop. We are the Pet Shop Boys, and they made this sound like a Pet Shop Boys song, very electronic, very 80s, and the song was made up of snippets from Pet Shop Boys lyrics. Suburbia is a slipstream to a memory. I think that was the first line of the song. All the time you're close to me. Why do I know all the lyrics? So, and then they recorded their own version and released that as a single B-side.
Which was obscure.
That was obscure. And then even they worked together with Robbie Williams on his Rootbox album.
Yeah.
They recorded two songs with Robbie Williams, mm-hmm. one of them being their last ever UK top five hit single. Mm. At least a hit single that involved them, because it was sung by Robbie Williams, of course,
mm-hmm.
but composed and produced by the Pet Shop Boys.
Was
She's
it no
Madonna.
Regrets, or was it?
No regrets. Only sounded like a Pet Shop Boys song. It has Neil Tennant.
That sounded like Pet Shop Boys. It was a big fan, he said. No, also covered. I wouldn't normally do that kind of thing.
Yeah, right. So that's it goes back and forth between Pet Shop Boys and Robbie Williams. And Robbie Williams, the second song they recorded with Robbie Williams was "We Are the Pet Shop Boys." So another cover version of that song that they have covered themselves, which is kind of a cover version or influenced by the Pet Shop Boys song. That's so obscure.
Yeah.
It's not allowed. Not allowed.
Nope. And also the nice Bowie song we talked about mm-hmm. a few episodes ago, "Hello Space Boy," is not allowed.
It's not allowed because it's a single.
It is a single, and it's a Bowie song.
And it's a Bowie song. It would be a cover version if they performed it live. And this was performed live before on the Savoy, at the Savoy Theatre shows. Yeah. So yeah. They have already performed.
So
Hello Space Boy before. Well, okay, this just wouldn't be a problem. It's only on one tour.
And
so we rule these out.
Yeah, and make one more clear, no singles. We say that not at all. So
yeah. Even though, and now we're getting it's getting obscure and obscure, you know what I mean. There are some singles which are more obscure than the B-side or some of the B-sides, because they have never been played live or only very occasionally. For example, can you imagine that such a beautiful song like DJ Culture has only ever been played once, and not even as a part of a tour, but only as a one-off, on a one-off concert?
That was crazy, because this was a song they made for the first Best Of album, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Pop? No, it was not pop, it was...
Discography, I think.
Discography. They do too much compilations.
Yeah, and they do too much plays on words with disco.
Yeah.
Discovery, right. Discovery. It's just the same, but discography.
But what's about Say It To Me? That was a single.
Yeah, it was a single. It's a song that I don't think it deserves to be a single. It's such a... Well, I don't know. It's so forgettable.
Yeah, it couldn't happen here. What is going on?
It's Say It To Me, one of the singles. It was Super. I don't even know if it's on Super or Hotspot. I think it was on Super. They have never played that live. They can't imagine that would work well live. Probably the record company insisted on... Oh, no, it was. By the time they released Super, they were still their own record company, weren't they? They only signed back with Polyphone again when they released Nonetheless. Okay. No, that leads too far.
It does.
What else do we exclude?
Also all those country-specific singles. This is also obscure that there are some singles only... were in Germany or US even, I'm not sure, or Japan, I don't know.
All over the world.
All over the world. They have some country-specific singles. And yeah, we exclude these because...
They are singles, technically.
Yeah, technically they are singles. And we exclude cover versions, but we also exclude collaborations with other artists.
Like the aforementioned. I think aforementioned, that's the term. Yeah, it sounds very, very scholarly. Country-specific singles, some that come to my mind are Beautiful People from Super, from Yes, which only was released in Germany, but nobody took notice of that. I've got the CD somewhere. And London from Release. I think that was only also only released in Germany. And To Step Aside, I think it was released as like kind of double A side with Sia Vida in the US. Mm-hmm. Right. Double A sides. Yeah, speaking of double A sides, how can you expect to be taken seriously?
Where the streets have no name.
Yeah. Yeah. Bracket, I can't take my eyes off you. Close bracket.
Yep.
Good. Yeah, that's on the Dreamworld set list.
And we have one special case. We talked about it.
So, okay. I will promise we'll come to our set list very, very soon, later tonight. It's Paninaro. Paninaro is tricky, isn't it?
B-side originally, later single.
Yeah, as mentioned before. And it's included in the Dreamworld set list. Remember what we said about Integral? There's a single version, a remix version, and there's an album track, or a B-side version, yeah. And, technically, the only version of Paninaro that is a single, or that counts as a single, is the Paninaro 95 version, the remix version. That sounds a lot like a 90, proper 90 dance track should sound like. But what they're playing live on the Dreamworld tour is not that one, but the B-side version. Is that allowed? No. I think it is allowed because that is the version that most fans love.
That's how it is.
Yeah, and this, yeah, leads to...
the next question. The big question. In the podcast from Inside, hieß es noch in depth. I learned in the special club part one about Please that Chris and Neil also were called Pet Shop Voice and Pet Shop Noise.
So one is the voice and one
makes a noise. Yeah. Always in front, and we always look at the voice, but because he's singing, and no, that's the whole impression. But sometimes we get a Chris song. Do we get a Chris song here?
Yeah, or do they get a Chris song?
We want Chris
the
song.
Ones who attend the concerts. No, we won't, but the lucky ones, do they? I can imagine that would be such a treat to get a Chris song, but they can't do of the aforementioned reasons. They can't do or can't get Paninaro. So this leaves some of the other very, very obscure Chris tracks, because he only occasionally takes the microphone. And one of them was already mentioned.
We All Feel Better in the Dark.
Probably, if performed, probably without the stripping.
Maybe. Let's see.
Maybe. And then one of the crowd. It's Chris singing, but we only get to hear a vocoder on that on that single. Probably he didn't like his singing voice that much. That, well, why not, would be interesting. But I don't think that he does that. He likes singing on stage that much. I think he prefers rapping, as he does in, or just a spoken word kind of thing.
Like We All Feel Better in the Dark,
Like rhythmical talking.
Yeah.
Yeah, so We All Feel Better in the Dark comes close. Because he has already practiced that 30 years ago. 35 years ago. And Lies, also I think a lesser known song, not one of the best songs. It's It's a B-side to New York City Boy. Mm-hmm. It's not the B-side because they didn't release singles back then. It's on 7-inch singles. It's the bonus track on the on one of the different formats. Yeah, that's why the second CD collection or B-sides collection is called Format, because there were so many different formats those songs are on, not only single B-sides.
Oh, so that's lies. For this explanation.
Mm-hmm. If you take a close look at the cover, what does this cover, the squares and rectangles, what do they symbolize? Because the different formats.
I see.
The next one is one of my favorite Pet Shop Boys tracks. It is.
Decide.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me.
It's very obscure. Because it was released on one of those singles that have only been released, I don't know, in Germany. Mm-hmm. From Hotspot, this ballad, the acoustic guitar song, Autumn. Mm-hmm. Autumn is here. No, what's it called? That's so obscure, I don't even know the lyrics.
No idea.
The Burning the Heather, Burning the Heather. That's a beautiful song. And the B-side is even more beautiful. It's not beautiful, it's got a beautiful melody, but it's a dance track. And such anthemic song. It's so much going on there. Decide. And it has Chris Lowe's vocoder vocals once again. And also featuring Neil singing in the background.
It's time to make your mind. It's time to make your mind.
Yeah, that's a very obscure, deep vocoder voice uttering that line.
Yeah,
it's time to make up your mind. Yeah. One more,
a postscript.
One more, rather obscure, yes. Obscure song, because it doesn't officially have a title, but people do refer to that as postscript.
Uh huh.
Why is that?
Not sure.
Do you know which song that is actually?
Tell me.
It's have you listened to your very CD? To the very, very end.
Often, of course.
And what is the last thing that you get to hear on the very CD?
Oh, it's long ago when I'm an old man. I'm not sure. Tell me.
Okay, and you've got 8 minutes of Go West, it says.
Yeah.
But it's only 5 minutes of Go West. Mm-hmm. And then one of the infamous CD specials
from the 90s.
I Believe in Ecstasy, that's right.
Ah.
It's got a hidden track, one of the 90 jokes hidden on CDs, a hidden track, which makes a random set list not really entertaining.
Idea, but I don't know.
It's a very nice, very short song featuring a synthesizer or sampled harmonica.
It's also on the New London Boy, but all the young dudes remixes.
Is it?
That's written on the Pet Shop Boys homepage about Postscript.
That's interesting. Because maybe I haven't listened to that CD up to the very end. Maybe they've done it again.
Yeah.
I only listened to that on Spotify. Sorry, not sure. Title.
Yeah, we're not sure. All this but Lost in Translation, all this Spotify. You can't really listen to Spotify.
I actually ordered the CDs, but they're still sealed, I guess.
Okay. So we have some open questions.
We forgot one song. There's one more Chris track, or at least one more song. Okay, there are a lot of songs which feature the odd word mm-hmm. uttered by Chris. Yeah.
So
like,
me.
It's all right. Something like that, but that doesn't count as a Chris singing song. No. So Happy Christmas and Happy New Year. it doesn't often snow at Christmas. No, but one song that we also do like very much, another bonus track from Fundamental. No, was it Fundamental? Yes, no, it was a bonus track from Yes. This used to be the future.
Mm-hmm.
This used to be the future. It's a song, it's a duet. One of them sings the first verse, the other one the second verse, and Phil Oakey, the lead singer of Human League, sings another verse, or sings the middle eight or the chorus. Yeah. This used to be the future. Yeah. But okay, since this is a duet, or even what is a duet when there are three singers? Is it a triplet? A threesome? No.
Oh dear.
No. Oh dear.
No, it's getting obscure.
Yeah, it's getting obscure. So, okay, not likely to be part of the set list. Have we got more open questions?
A couple of things we genuinely don't know yet.
Right. So will they have the set list rotate each night? Different songs, 20 or the 25 same songs each night, or maybe at least exchange two or three songs. Probably they won't exchange the full set list. They're not Sparks. So what else?
Who's programming?
Yeah, so this heavily influences the sound or the versions they play. Will they have Pete Gladdle do the job, Stuart Price? No, no. Do they all...
They also worked together, didn't they?
Might be.
Yeah, could be. I'll write about it.
Could. All right, Pete Gladdle and Stuart Price.
Yeah. And will it be a full band or just the two of them?
Yeah, or maybe some extra musicians, a saxophone player.
It depends.
Yeah. will they play the original versions or remix versions or even completely reworked versions as they did on the Nightlife tour?
They could do medleys to squeeze some songs in.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. 25 songs sounds like a very long evening. They're not the youngest anymore. Mm-hmm. They want to maybe get to bed early.
Yeah.
So they keep the set list short and perform medleys. They have been doing this since the Pandemonium tour, or since their Brit Awards medley, the 10-minute medley of Pet Shop Boys songs they performed on TV.
And the most important question for us is, will this leave the UK at some point?
Yes, will they take it on the road because it has been such a success? I hope so.
Or DVD or
an Netflix. Okay, at least we want a DVD release or a Blu-ray or streaming or whatever. Please record that. Don't miss the opportunity to record that.
We want to hear and see it.
Yeah, not only through the... through the screens of the or through the cameras of
not all this
mobile phones, smartphones,
YouTube splatter smash shitty cameras fans. They should enjoy the show and not having the whole time the camera in their hand.
Yeah, that's right. It's so sad. Sometimes have you watched those huge festival concerts where you have these recordings by drones, and you don't see screens. Actual real people anymore in the crowd. It's only screens,
millions of screens.
So why don't they just agree on like a two or three or maybe four or five people in the crowd whose duty it is to record the whole thing and then put it online.
Yeah.
You can get it online.
I got Radiohead did that once in Prague, I guess.
Did they?
It was only for a few people allowed to record it, and then they had to send it to Radiohead, and Radiohead did the mixing with the good sound and these four videos, and all the rest of the crowd were not allowed to use the phone.
Yeah, that's it. That sounds quite logical.
Yeah.
I attended a Stephen Wilson, a Porcupine Tree concert. No, let's talk about prog rock. That's how I learned to hate rock and roll.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they simply asked the audience not to film this by using their mobile phones. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just a message on the screen before the concert started, and all people obeyed. I didn't do any recording, and so we all enjoyed the concert, and we didn't have to watch each other watch people in front of us holding up their screens and blocking the view.
It's all about fear of missing out, no? To not record FOMO. And can't see it again. But if
even though thousands of people to the right and to the left of you are doing the same,
that's crazy.
Hmm.
So it's all about trust. You have to trust the artist that you get it on tape or on streaming later when it's good.
Yeah. And if you don't, you've got it in your memory. There are so many memories of great concerts that I
like
couldn't even
it.
Film because there were no, you know, there were no smartphones invented back then.
Yeah. On Home and Dry, we don't have smartphones, I guess.
Life no, that's right.
1990 performance. No. There were no smartphones at the Dortmund Westfalenhalle.
Yeah, I think there was a streaming. This particular concert. There's a stream of that.
Yeah,
so it was streamed live, and you can still watch it on YouTube. Yeah. And I don't know if we can be seen in the audience, but I think rather not. Hmm. But it's that particular concert from Cologne that we can still find online.
Nice. So,
have we actually reached the main part?
After 1 hour, we reached the main part. Here's the chapter mark.
Okay. So this was the support act. Now for the main act, the set list. Our own obscure Pet Shop Boys set lists. Each of us provided a Pet Shop Boys set list. An obscure Pet Shop Boys set list, to be precise. So how do we go about it?
Well, take turns explaining our set list to each other. You start. What's your intro and the opener?
Yeah, okay, so, drum roll, please. Yeah, I thought about an intro as well. No, probably they don't just enter the stage and start with the first song. So there's so many ways to start a show with an introduction. Either an existing song, an existing instrumental version. They've done that before. For example, also Axis from Electric, that serves really well as an introduction to the album and also live with all the backdrop visuals they recorded for that. But they have already done that. I thought, wouldn't it be great if we have something like the Four on the Floor that really gets people excited, and a song or something that they know, yeah, but something that they might not have expected. So I thought what they might be likely to start with could be a track from Relentless. What do you think?
Why not? Why not?
Why not?
Why not? But yeah. Many, so, like me, would say, what is this?
Relentless. Yeah, okay. Special, very special edition of Very.
That was very Relentless, yeah.
Yeah, a very limited edition. It was very Relentless of them to release Relentless only in that limited edition package. But they re-released it a few years ago on CD and on vinyl. I'm so sorry. I was not fast enough to buy the vinyl because it's sold out now again. But I bought a copy of the remastered version of the Relentless album, even though I did own that I have owned that since 1993, because I bought the special edition of Very back then, which included the Relentless bonus CD with tracks done by Chris, mostly instrumentals. And the first of them is My Head is Spinning. I think My Head is Spinning would serve very well as an introduction to Obscure. Maybe only as an instrumental version.
Maybe not the whole 6 minutes.
No, that's right. And then, okay, my opener, of course, to celebrate 40 years of Please.
Oh, yes.
What would be more fitting than 2 divided by 0 and the crowd goes mad all at once?
They would go mad. They played it last in 2012.
Yep. As mentioned before, as a medley on the Pandemonium tour.
Genau, in Moscow, in Russia.
Oh, that's where they ended the tour.
Yes.
Interesting.
In July 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It also was played first in Russia, in St. Petersburg, in 2009.
Okay, so that was the 3 years of the Pandemonium tour.
Yeah.
Good. So, what are your picks for the first couple of songs?
So let's go with a classic. So a song I heard in the late 80s and where I get to know the Pet Shop Boys and all the hits. And, and they were always on the radio. I loved it. And also,
can you even imagine? Yeah,
yeah, it was crazy in the 80s, 88 especially. there was one song on an album, or even on the, it was on the B side of Rent, wasn't it? And it were never ever played live. No? So it's time to do it.
Oh yeah,
we talked about it earlier about the Chihuahua. Because I want a dog.
Yeah, who doesn't? It's a song about a dog and not wanting a cat because it leaves their scratch marks all over your habitat. What a rhyme, cat and habitat. Yes, yeah. Actually, it's one. It's on my set list as well. It's the last. Third song. Oh no, the second song. The one following 2 divided by 0. And I want them to play not the single version, but the remixed album version from Introspective. Starting with a thunderstorm.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so maybe you just tell us the next two or three songs that you chose.
Okay. We talked about it to make a little bit like get a storyline, how to make it. I feel like it doesn't fit at the moment. It goes in a direction, and so we shouldn't go here. It's getting hard. What's picking next?
It's getting hard in here. So what do we do?
Hard in here. So no, I get something else. So you put it everywhere. I'm getting a song from Nightlife, and talking about positive role model.
Oh, that's an interesting choice. It was on my long list. Actually, I had a long list of about 58 songs picked first.
Oh, so beginner, my long list had 85 songs.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, crazy. It was released 2001, the Positive War Model. Original on the album Closer to Heaven.
Yeah.
And on Disco 3.
Okay. Yeah, also, Disco 3, Closer to Heaven is only the musical soundtrack sung by the musical or recorded by the musical cast, so not sung by the Pet Shop Boys, but it was intended, it was a part of the musical, so, but they did their own version, played live only once.
In summer 2000.
When they performed at Glastonbury for the first time, when they said we were Glastonbury virgins. I think it's a good choice. Probably a good one to be played live. Yeah.
It was also on this subsequent album, Nightlife 2017 reissue, no? Further listening.
Yeah, with two extra CDs, with a lot of stuff on that.
Yeah. You are right, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it also was, that's obscure, a bonus track on the single London, only released in Germany.
Yeah, that's right. So
good. That's role model.
Mm-hmm, positive role model. I'd second that. Good. So I'll go on with three more songs that I picked.
Yeah, do it.
Now let's slow down the pace a little bit and enter the lasers. Fluorescent from Electric. I really enjoyed that being played live on the Electric tour, and I can imagine that they'd like to bring it back because that's a great song. A very moody song, remind one probably voluntarily on of the great 80s track by Visage, Fade to Grey. So they've got very similar sounds there. And then, so after three of these very intense songs, let's slow down a little more for Luna Park, one of my favorites from Fundamental. Mm-hmm. Really dig that song. It's always dark in Luna Park. And now we've got something where Neil Tennant might get out his electric guitar for the first time live and play the riff for a certain je ne sais quoi, because I think that this song has got a certain je ne sais quoi. So it deserves to be played live. I think it's B-side to one of the singles from Elysium. But it was recorded before, that's why it's on the further listening of Fundamental. Okay. They do it in chronologically correct order. So even though it was released later on the fundamental bonus, for the listening bonus CDs, the songs, they put the songs that have been recorded during the phase, the main album. So that's a certain Je ne sais quoi. Really like the song. It's an up-tempo, uplifting song, which gets the crowd going. Okay. Nice. What about yours?
Yeah, when the crowd is going, I get the next three picks because we all have to get pace in here and do something special. And I go with some songs you also have on your list, but I get them at this time out of the set list. And the first is The Boy Who Couldn't Keep His Clothes On All Night Long. Yeah. From Red Letter Day, you know it. Never Play Live. Yeah. And talking about clothes, we all feel better in the dark.
not being able to keep one's clothes on, would fit better as a next song? Genau. Than
it was played 19 times on the performance tour.
Yeah.
1991. Not sure if this numbers are all right, because getting back on Setlist FM before the internet, there are not many people who are doing this wiki style pages, and this could not be correct at all, but
yeah.
We trust them.
Yeah, the site relies heavily on the users who upload the information.
Yeah,
at least. Yeah, I know. And they
one more song. Hmm? The third one.
Oh, right,
when we are feel better in the dark. Next we go. We are shameless.
Yeah. Have you ever seen me undressed? It's one of the lyrics. So that really fits, yeah, the storyline, as you said.
That's the storyline of doing something with
your clothes. Would it not amuse you for me to seduce you? Have you ever seen me undressed? Oh, no! Good. Yeah. I really liked the way they did that accelerando in the live version. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the part where they say it slowed down and then it sped up. To the line of I forgot the line. What was it? Get it on. Shameless. What did they say? What part of the lyrics repeating?
We go to the Pet Shop Boys homepage.
Yeah, okay, we don't have the time for that.
May Command F search your browser for shame. And we
we're doing the Googling live here.
And getting on this page and they say,
I can't remember anything at all. We do anything at all. And they speed it up, anything at all, until they have reached the original tempo again. So that is a nice gimmick. Okay, but wouldn't mind if they do it again. Okay, shall I go on?
Yeah, go on.
Right. Good. One of the favorites, I think, from the Yes era is The Way It Used to Be. This very melancholic, yet up-tempo song. One of those many Pet Shop Boys songs that are melancholic and up-tempo disco dance tracks at the same time, but have a very, very melancholic melody that could be resurrected for this tour. Oh, for these concerts. And then I'd like them to play The Survivors with the Four on the Floor rhythm, please, as they did with the orchestra. Now, okay, they have to use the sampled orchestra again, but why not? They have done this before. Not everything has to be played live. And the next of the triplet I'm explaining here is I'm introducing here is Hoping for a Miracle. Very nice track from Hotspot.
Okay. Good one.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get on with my next triplet. I glaube, that could be the format we doing it. Now I get to Younger Fender. a song from Rary, you know.
I think that's a must. A lot of fans would be very disappointed if they didn't jump to the occasion to play that live again.
Yeah. Obviously, they played it 1999 and 2000, but this is 26 years mm-hmm. ago, so it's time to do it again. Mm-hmm. Younger Fender.
They're allowed to play it again.
Yes, yes. And after that, we go to the Requiem in denim and leopard skin. This one is really obscure, isn't it?
It is. The title. Requiem in denim and leopard skin. But it's sad. It's about a funeral.
Okay.
Of a makeup artist, I recall correctly.
Yeah, they played it only three times. The first time it was 2012 in Berlin. And the last time it was... at the Teenage Cancer Trust, 2017. So
that's... with an orchestra added.
Yeah.
So we actually, the first time they played it live, we were there. Not really there, but we encountered that live at home.
Did we?
Yeah, we watched that on our PCs because it was streamed live. Mm. Promotional concert, a very short promotional concert before Elysium was released. Mm-hmm. I think we met up, not... at the same place, but we watched that simultaneously and then talked a little about the new songs.
I see. Yeah, they started A Face Like That, Leaving, Invisible, Winner, Ego. Mm. Yeah, I see.
And they ended with a cover version, a B-side.
from the Bee Gees.
Yeah, right.
I see. Oh, Setlist FM is so helpful.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Requiem in denim and leopard skin. Like that song really very much.
Yeah.
Another one? I think there's a third one.
Can get the third one. I want to slip out here. But I get excited and you get excited too. It's on my list. Played last time 2015. So it's played more than 90 times. But I'm not sure if I follow the rule here.
No, it's okay, because as I said before, that was the Electric Tour, and they played the Bobby O very stripped down demo version.
Yeah,
so
right.
If they play that, I'd expect them to play the newer version, the one that they released on the hard B side.
Yeah. So it's you.
Oh, yeah, it's me again. Okay, now we've got the storyline here again. Mm-hmm. So I thought they might introduce the next couple of songs by playing a song called Your Early Stuff, which introduced a couple of earlier recordings.
Mm.
So it's quite an ironic song from from Elysium, where I think the lyrics consist of quotes from people they met, and like taxi drivers keep telling them things like, "Oh, you're still around. Well, don't you have any money anymore? Do you need the money?" So this could be the only reason why you still keep making records and so on. But, you know, I don't know your records, but I do actually like your early stuff. the sound of all those old machines and so on. And this would give them the chance, even though they can't play West End Girls, to at least play the bass line, because they sneaked in the bass line in the middle eight of your early stuff. So a little nod to West End Girls. Okay, your early stuff that introduces some of the early songs, and I think that's my impression would be a great song to play. A lot of people probably know this as a B-side to Love Comes Quickly, and I think at that time a lot of fans, or to become people who were to become fans, loved the B-sides at least as much as the A-sides. They're so good, such good songs on their early recordings.
That's right.
It always reminded me of the 1985 single from New Order, Subculture, a little. I don't know if they wanted to recreate that. So if you just listen to these two songs after one after the other, you will know what I mean.
Yeah.
Same chord structure, almost the same melody. But it's a good Pet Shop Boys song. The next of the early stuff songs is I Want a Lover. One of the songs that they have never played
From Fleece.
Well, from Fleece. Oh, the only song. So this, okay, this is the occasion to close it and play at our lover. Maybe without, you know, from the in-depth podcast that's on the original recording, Chris Lowe plays the trombone. live trombone. No, don't know. Not quite sure if he does that on stage. And another I Want song. Mm-hmm. They're so greedy. They want so much. They don't not only a dog or a lover. They even want to wake up. That's a great song. Great song from Actually, one of the more sophisticated songs, Moody song. I Want to Wake Up. I've always loved that song.
Yeah, great. Good pick. I like it. So when you want to wake up and lying in your bed, who's lying next to you? I bet she is not your girlfriend.
Who, your mom? Who are you thinking of?
That's a story I heard in in-depth podcast that talked about that it could be a line Neil said about a photo from George Michael in the press. Mm-hmm. With some woman next to him.
Ah, okay.
And he was not outed. Huh? So.
Mm-hmm. Oh, all right. Yeah, so, she's not assuming.
Your girlfriend.
Okay.
The greedy is. But it's also a song from an alternative. And I wanted to say that there was a time in my life I heard it heavily to alternative, the first B-side compilation of the Pet Shop Boys, more than to the hits. That was great.
Yeah,
it was not repeated with Format, but it was another time in my life, so Format was not so interesting for me. But now I'm really waiting for Obscure.
Yeah, okay, the third B-side collection. Yeah, and I know what you mean. It was a little more consistent back then, or cohesive. Yeah, so all the B-sides, you know where they came from, and they of course they have been experimental from time to time, but not as experimental as they are with the B-sides or the bonus tracks now, or they have become later since the 2000s, I guess, when they released the Format album. So there's a lot to not to get excited about, but something that you have got to listen to several times until you start getting excited about those songs, or not at all. I don't know. But who couldn't get excited listening to alternative?
Yeah. So what's next on my list? Let's see, another great song from the Bilingual. It's the Truck Driver and His Mate.
The one of the before flip sides, it or is it one of those singles? Yeah,
not sure.
I think it's before.
It only was played six times live between 1970 and 1979. No, not so early. That's the Pet Shop Boys. It's an 80s band. 1997. And 2002, and the first was also in the Savoy Theatre in London.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, Teachers on the DVD, so there's a live recording available.
I see, yeah.
With, as I said before, there we have Neil playing the acoustic guitar.
We talked about everything about this. And now I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we live together?
I think it's a rhetorical question, isn't it?
It is. It's from everybody's Please, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Played it several times, but it's the old days.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine that they do play this because I think they like this song themselves very much. And they might have even released or considered releasing that as a single back then in the Please era.
Era.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, so I think this might be possible.
Yep.
I think I'll go on with the next one. The early stuff period of the Obscure set list is just finished. So let's move on with something new, something very new. And the Nonetheless album is, the singles of Nonetheless are featured on the Dream World set list, or at least some of them. God, they've released like 5 singles or so. Yeah. But there are so many great album tracks, and I think they should really get the crowd sing along to Why Am I Dancing? Dip, 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 dip. Yes, Why Am I Dancing? I'm wondering. It's one of the songs written during the pandemic and heavily influenced by the pandemic. So at that time, no problem dancing in your kitchen, even taking your... It's also one more of the songs, taking your clothes off. I might as well be naked. So that's why my next song is The Boy Who Couldn't Keep His Clothes On, followed by We All Feel Better in the Dark.
Oh, yeah, yeah, same, we had this one. Yep.
Same as in New York set list.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I think I go on with the next two because we have already mentioned or already talked about this, these two.
Yes.
Okay, one song that I think the fans would like to love. It's one of the favorite album tracks, not released as a single, but they tried to do a single version of that, but didn't really like that and then didn't release it as a single. It's the Discoteca, the single version of that, or the To Become a Single Version. Is featured on the Further Listening album, and there was even a faster remixed version that they released as a bonus track to the bilingual single. Why, it's so hard, it's a single, it's called single. So I'm wondering not only if we could live together, but also if there's a disco near here. Is there a discoteca Powaki? And no, let's. The next one is probably the most obscure song of the setlist.
Mm-hmm.
It's see. From the Lost EP, I guess only released with a with one of the annually books, you know, the fan club magazines or the fan magazines mm-hmm. that you can order. Not you don't have to be a necessarily have to be a member of the fan club, but I didn't order that one, so I. I lost that. I lost it. The chance to get the Lost EP. And I love the track, The Lost Room. It's influenced by the story told in the German novel of Der Zögling Törleß, a classic novel. Mm. And there's a movie. It's quite old, I think it's from the 60s, and there's also a video released semi-officially to this track, The Lost Room, which has it's had two scenes from that movie, and it disappeared. It was released on the official Pet Shop Boys channel, but it disappeared a few months later, probably because the copyright demands or claims. Maybe they didn't ask if they were allowed to release this with this video with all those scenes from the movie. But it reappeared somewhere. So if you're really looking for that, you can find that online. And I love the song. I love the story. I love the video. So Lost could be played. Lost Room.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Was that always already your third pick?
Oh, I think so. Discoteca, Lost Room, and... Yeah, Why Am I Dancing before that?
I see. So let's get to my next three ones. Getting to the 90s, back again. Picking a song from Behavior, To Face the Truth.
Was ooh, yeah,
only played once live, acoustic, just after Rent and before So Hard in Singapore. Mm-hmm. On the Discovery Tour in October 1994.
Okay, maybe there's a reason why they only performed it once.
Could be. I'm not sure.
Maybe it didn't work out that fine on acoustic guitar.
Yeah, with but all it made those... on my list because I skipped to the 85 songs on my long list. And said, oh, no, not this one. No, no. But, this, To Face the Truth. No, let's do it. Let's check if it does the rules. Oh, only played once. Okay, that's an obscure one. Let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
But let's go on to Don Juan, which is the B-side of Domino Dancing. Never played live.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear this one live. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they could play the recorded version or also go with the demo version, which is released on the Domino Dancing Remix single. I think it hasn't been, or is it on the further listening series in the demo version? No, I don't know.
Not sure.
Can be, that's on an introspective.
Haven't tried, haven't read it on Ganoride. Homepage.
Well, that's more of an energy, high energy version, the demo version. So could even play that version.
Would
be interesting to hear that live.
I see.
Uh huh. Yeah. Good, interesting pick.
Yeah. And the next one, to step aside from Bilingual. Oh. Played only once. Five times and five times at the same theater in London, the Savoy Theater. I mentioned it earlier, and in 1997. Yeah,
I think would be a good choice. And even though it was some sort of a single release in the USA, but I think no one knows.
USA.
just please break those rules. Yeah. Yeah, don't be too strict.
These are our rules.
Yeah. So one of the I agree. This is one of the bilingual songs that I like the most too.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Is it my turn again?
Yes, it is your turn.
Good. Okay, we're approaching the end of the concert, or it's the final quarter before the encores. Mm-hmm. Behavior. Okay, I do with any Behavior song. They could play the whole album live. And one of the songs that I really like is The End of the World from the end of the album. Just the penultimate song before For Jealousy. It's the one that they wanted to imitate. they got a little jealous of Depeche Mode's. Oh, here we mentioned Depeche Mode again. Success with Enjoy the Silence. So Neil Tennant bought a guitar and tried to recreate the sound of the Enjoy the Silence, the famous Enjoy the Silence riff. And that's what we're hearing at the beginning of the song, The End of the World. There's a piano and... then like a call and response with piano and electric guitar. So it's not as catchy as as the Depeche Mode Enjoy the Silence riff, but it's still a great song, The End of the World. So then also a great song from More Than a Dream. Yeah, that's only been played live partly as an intro to the Yes concerts, the Pandemonium tour. Only the instrumental version of the Middle Eight section, and then it segued into Heart, which was the first song of the set list. So now, why don't they play the whole of it? Because I think it deserves to be played as a full song. Have I got one more? Yeah,
yep.
Okay, one. I'd like to hear that song again live, because it's just a great live sing-along song, a party song. And we were there when they performed it live in Cologne. Sexy Northerner. Such a funny song. It's not all football and fags. It's not all football and fags as a chorus. About those, I think in London everybody knows Northerners and the cliches, so that's a good place to sing that. And I think Neil is from the north as well, so might as well be a sexy 71-year-old northerner by then. Good. I think it's your turn again.
So let's get fast to three of my tracks. Start with Delusions of Grandeur from a Red Letter Day.
Yeah.
Never played live. So, counts into this rule. Yeah.
It's very, very fast and very energetic, and it might be a little complicated to sing live. It's very much going on vocal-wise there, very, very high. Okay, but still singing that. Okay, he's 71, I don't know. But yeah, I think we've got... The Boy Who Couldn't Keep His Clothes On from that EP, or from that single, and also Delusions of Grandeur. Mm-hmm. I think most fans like these two B-sides even more than the actual single, Red Letter Day, which I really like the live version that they played on the release tour with a band. I like that more than the disco song that reminds me too much of a generic Go West-like Pet Shop Boys song with all the choir going on there. Yeah, but okay, they can't recreate that because probably won't have a band with them. Yeah. No, if they take the, well, could be, maybe they take the Dream World band that they are touring with anyway for those concerts, or maybe partly, maybe only the one of them is a keyboard, additional keyboard player. I think it could be likely that they do that.
Yep. The next one is easier to sing, to sing along, because it's too many people. I sometimes think that I'm too many people at once. Never play
it
live.
But also got too many lyrics, doesn't it?
There's some lyrics in the not in the chorus.
Yeah, you've got to remind who the singer is next. All the roles that are numbered. Yep. Enumerated. That's one word I was trying to.
I see. Yeah.
Remember.
So it's from the I wouldn't normally kind to,
normally do that
this kind of thing. That's what I wanted to sing.
The husband,
Robbie Williams covered, no? You know.
It's getting complicated again.
Yeah. It's a bonus track.
But you're right, too many people, it's quite demanding, could be a fan pleaser.
I guess so. The good old very days. So, and then the third one I pick here is I Didn't Get Where I'm Today.
Oh, interesting.
This is from Flamboyant. No, never played live before. Yeah.
Yeah, they only released it with the Flamboyant single, but it has been considered to be included on the album release instead of here, but for some reason, I think they regret it. Or they say somewhere in the booklet that they have regretted it later on because it would have fitted better because of the guitar sample that they used. Listen to In Depth, one of the episode tells you where the guitar riff is taken from as a sample. That's an old 60s song, an obscure 60s song.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a great song, catchy melody and everything, yeah. And,
so it's you again.
My turn? Okay, so we're approaching the encore. The only one that I have got left. Okay, so two more songs from the main set list. You've already mentioned that Shameless. I think I'll leave that for Lime of the Show. One song that it's similar to the high energy songs that they always play during the end of the main set, like It's a Sin, for example. So I think they should end this set with some that's similar to that.
Yeah,
and that's why Shameless put there. And then I think this makes for a great last song before people want more. People tell them that we want more, is the last song on Nonetheless. So, which I think if they had toured this album properly without the Dreamworld tour and so on, if there had been a proper Nonetheless tour, I can imagine that they would have finished the set with Love is the Law, because it's the last song on the album, and it really serves well as a last song on the set.
Yeah. Love it.
They should do that. Okay. Yeah, so please go on before I end my set list with the three encore songs that I picked.
Yeah. I only have two encores and we don't match this one. I have one song left, which is obscure enough to get on this list. And it's Music for Boys.
Yeah.
It's from the DJ Culture single and was played once. At Heaven London, we mentioned it was October the 15th, 1991, where they showed their new songs, didn't they?
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Did they even play that live? I can imagine that might have been the intro from tape.
I guess so. It's the first on the set list from this day. And then the first song was Where the Streets Have No Name.
Mm. Of course it's all on tape, but no one will find out.
No one.
Yeah, music for boys could also, yeah, why not? Or as an interlude song or whatever. Or maybe an interlude between the main set and the encore.
So let's, how do we get the encore?
So do you want to tell us about your encore?
Yeah, I guess you have the better encore, but I tell you mine. Yeah, because I'm a fanboy, and if a fanboy wants to hear fan stuff, mm-hmm. even if they have played it often enough for some people, and it's Your Funny Uncle, it's mm-hmm. my first encore, yeah, from Alternative, and also B-side on It's Alright.
And, yeah, the Neil song from the two B-sides, one of the crowd being the Chris song and the other one, the Neil song.
Yeah, and it was only played on the performance tour 1991 mm. live, so it's long ago. And
actually, they only played half of it.
Okay.
So yeah, they started with the second half, only the intro and then the second half after
it would
the
be time to
break.
Play it, play it properly. Do it. Yeah.
It's only two minutes long anyway, so
yeah, let's
lose
do it
that much time.
Fans. Come on,
playing the full song.
Yeah,
I think they might consider playing that because they probably know that's a song that has been loved by so many fans.
But it's a sad song, so we'll see. We'll see. Mm-hmm. And my last encore is a fan pleaser. Was played 80 times. Maybe it doesn't match the rules, but it's from Actually, and we're in London, and it's King's Cross.
You're so right. even though it's in Camden.
Yeah.
So that's not actually, I don't know. Isn't Camden, I think it's close to King's Cross, isn't
it? It's quite close. Yeah. I've been there 2 years ago, and it's not directly, but there's only one tube line between it. I guess it's in the north of the ring, so in the inner city. So it's close enough.
Yeah, everything is close.
There will be many people coming by train over King's Cross to this evening, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, it's quite likely that to be played, even though, as you said, they have played it multiple times before, but only on two tours. Yeah, and the last one being the Pandemonium tour. Okay, they played it several times there, a lot of times. And why not? 25 songs, so why don't play King's Cross? It's such a favorite song by so many people.
So what's your encore?
Okay, I have got something that you had already had on your set list, Requiem and Denim and Leopard Skin. Mm-hmm. Okay, you've got a funeral song, I have got a funeral song. And it's like a show tune, with this da-da-da-da-da at the end and so on. So it's, even though it's a funeral song, it's very heavy. And I don't have Funny Uncle and this one on my set list. Mm-hmm. Okay, for one reason, because they're both about funerals, two different funerals, but both about funerals. And also musically, chord structure is quite similar in the chorus. So, that's why I think maybe they play that. But I actually I got the order wrong because I'd like them to go on stage again with Young Offender. As they did on the Nightlife tour, there was a break, two parts of that concert. And after the break, they started the second part of the concert with Young Offender, with the remixed version that starts with the chorus only, the chords and the chorus before the beat sets in. You know, the Gem and Spoon mix that was featured on this 12-inch remix of, what was it? Liberation. Very, very bad remixes of Liberation. But the Young Offender ones were cool. So, and now, Young Offender, Requiem and Denim and Leopard Skin. And then, to really close this evening, I think they should play a song that is lesser known, but serves very well as an end song, a night song. So the song Night Song. It's one that they composed for a theater, for a play, a children's play, actually, based on a book. And it's a sad story again. It's about a father caring for the children after the mother has died.
Mm.
It's My Dad is a Birdman. But it's a very nice, very beautiful song. And I think in the same way they ended the performance concert with Going to Bed during... Your Funny Uncle. Yeah, that was the very last scene where mm-hmm. they laid in bed and sang the song in the nightgowns. I think they were actually already in heaven, so they have died before the encore. And then, getting back to the stage as angels and then lying down, going to sleep. So this is one song where they can say, let's go to sleep. And it's a very, very lovely little song. But why not?
Good pick. Good pick. All right.
Yeah. So these were our set lists. Yeah. Though maybe, okay, very few honorable mentions that were hard to leave out for you.
Mm-hmm.
So what about One More Chance? It's also one of the most famous non-album tracks. Okay, it was released as a single Bobby Orlando version. I don't think that counts.
Yeah, and I also have an alternative opener. The Sodom mm-hmm. and Gomorrah Show would be perfect as
Sodom opener. And Gomorrah. Yeah, okay.
Von Fundamental. Mm-hmm. But played several times and so...
Yeah, mostly the Fundamental Tour and the Super Tours.
Yeah.
So quite recently played.
Before.
But also a song that has been considered as a single from Fundamental. So maybe along with Integral, one of the better known songs from that mm-hmm. area. Okay. So what about that? Now you know that we're both going to see them live in July in Mönchengladbach.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see who's got most songs right. And the first pint will be bought by the other one.
All right.
That evening.
Yep.
Okay. No, okay, two pints, one for the other one as well. Yep. Okay. Know what I mean?
Makes sense, yeah. Yep.
Right. Good. So that, now, I hope you enjoyed everything that we tried to tell you about our... imagination, us imagining set lists for the obscure songs and also providing some of the background knowledge. Right.
Yeah, that was our deep dive into one wonderfully nerdy world of obscure Pet Shop Boys songs and our attempt at building the ultimate obscure set list.
Yeah. Wasn't Ultimate also a title of one of the many compilations?
Yep.
Yeah, and honestly, we could probably do three more episodes like this and still argue about which B-side deserves a spot.
Absolutely. And of course, we'd love to hear your picks. What would make it on your perfect obscure set list?
Okay, so leave us a message, leave us a comment in our several multiple social media.
You'll find us on Blue Sky, us, on Mastodon, mm-hmm. on Facebook even.
YouTube, Spotify.
Spotify. On our website from our hoster, Podigy, and also on the WordPress on Uberspace, potamus.uber.space.
Let me tell you something, Andy.
Yeah.
Everybody who's hearing you right now has already found us. So the ones that we're talking right now, they know how to find us.
Maybe they do not find the comments.
Yeah. Okay, just scroll down a little further, please.
There are even some areas where you can't leave comments. But what about that?
Yeah. So please tell us about those deep cuts that you've been secretly waiting to hear live for decades, literally.
And who knows? Maybe a few of them will actually show up on stage in London in April.
We'll definitely be watching very closely and probably getting just a little bit jealous.
All right. Before we go, thanks for sticking with us through this slightly unusual full English episode.
We hope it worked and that it didn't sound too strange coming from us.
Next time, we're most likely to back to German.
Don't worry.
Until then.
Ah yeah, thanks for listening. And to quote the Pet Shop Boys, Auf Wiedersehen.
Auf Wiedersehen.
And Entschuldigung, ich nix spreche Deutsch.
Ich nix, nee. Oh, that's
oh, this outro. This is our outro music. Four on the Floor, electric. You can't deny that it has been inspired by the band that we have been talking about today. Oh, a little bit?
Mm-hmm. That's a
little bassline. Okay, who knows which song this bassline was ripped off from?
It was also, it was a Peter Hook part, wasn't it?
Oh, and the strings! And the vocoder!
And we haven't talked about Johnny Marr today.
One of the crowd.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.